This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8 o'clock hour here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys and Texas Rangers. I'm Sean Treif alongside RJ Choppy and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt and Brian Schottenheimer, new Cowboys head coach, just speaking at the owners' meetings in Palm Beach. Who are we giving this credit to? John?
John Machota. These are John Machota's clips.
John Machota has the clips. Brian Schottenheimer hot off the presses. And I want to hear first about the Cowboys' need, which Stephen Jones stressed yesterday, for the number two wide receiver.
CD's an incredible player. Always looking to add depth at that room. Again, really proud of Jalen Tolbert. I've talked about him from the time we started talking about it 2 years ago when he was improving to now we talk about him as the leading receiver touchdown-wise on our team. Along with finding guys and adding more pieces, it's our job as a staff to be a developmental staff. Right, we need to get these guys like Ryan Flournoy, Mingo, to take the next step. We have to do that. That's our job. And so one of the things that we're working on right now is an improvement plan for each guy. Okay, and, all right, so let's use Mingo, for example. These are the two or three things that, okay, hey, for Mingo to get to where we want him to go, he does these three things. It's not just those three things. It's what are the steps, the action plan to do those three things. And so that's what we're looking at now with our current players because, as you know, they come back here in 2 weeks. And so between developing those guys on the roster and always looking under every corner to add some speed and some more playmaking skills, we're always looking to do that.
I love the answer of developing. Todd Haley first taught me about this in Kansas City.
Well,
you remember Todd Haley?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes acted like a nut job in the National Football
League.
But his father was a famous personnel guy, I believe, with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Charles, yeah.
That's all he talked about. Develop. Develop. I'll tell Charles you said that. He's got a white son. Develop. 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 And this was a Bill Parcells thing as well. Parcells, you have to develop the people that you actually have. You don't just draft them and say, all right, you are the player that you are. You have to make Flournoy, you have to make Mingo better. You have to develop them. That is one of your major responsibilities as a coach.
Yeah, and I think that's a good answer, a very polished answer. It is still kind of a diplomatic one, I think. I'm sure a lot of the discussion from the Cowboys has been, hey, we invested in Mingo. We made this trade for Mingo. We'd like to see that hit. You know, we picked Jalen Tolbert kind of high. We'd like to see that hit. Is part of what you're going to do, is part of how you're going to be different from Mike, is going to be how you're going to develop these guys, because that's going to be important to us. So I think he's trying to underscore that while also giving credence to the idea of, yeah, we're going to keep an eye out for maybe some speed and some other things that might be out there to fill out that room a little bit. But yeah, top line item here is just we need to make those guys better, and that falls on us.
All right, what about the number 12 pick and how Brian Schottenheimer is looking at that selection?
starting point would be best player available. You know, you're always looking for game changers when you're picking 12. Like, we don't want to ever pick 12th again, right? Let's be honest. We don't want to pick that high. But you're looking for guys that influence the game. How do you influence the game? You rush the quarterback and you get sacks, strip sacks, fumbles, whatever it is. You score touchdowns, okay? So those are usually, I look at it this way, you build it from the outside in. So you got corners, receivers, they get isolated one-on-one. Pass rushers, tackles, they get isolated one-on-one. And then obviously the quarterback position. But usually that's the way I've looked at it, is when you're building a roster, kind of think of it from building it from outside in based on guys that get isolated a lot. Because when you're isolated and you can't help, it's pretty daunting task sometimes.
That's it. I mean, you want, if a corner gives up, if a linebacker gets beat, or a defensive tackle gets beat, there's a linebacker right behind him. And if the linebacker gets beat, there's a safety. If a corner gets beat, it's six. I mean, they have a safety, but there's no telling, right? You know, especially on a one-on-one. That's why corners are, you know, to me, of the utmost importance. And you cannot have a weak link at all in your secondary. You can have a weak link in other parts of your team. You can't have a weak link in the secondary.
I mean, I think that's actually a really fascinating, enlightening answer for Brian
job,
Schottenheimer.
Good job, Schottenheimer. Oh.
No, that Schottenheimer being willing to, this is where I think it's just, we're going to have a better idea of what this team thinks on a week-to-week basis and how they're approaching things. Because I don't know that Mike would have ever gone detailed enough to tell you how he prioritizes positions like that and moving, all right, outside in, and this is why. And I think it's a nice detailed answer. I'll say, well, they're talking about there's clearly a need for receiver, and he's talking about, man, the priority guys on that island, that's also going to be receiver. I think that sounds to me like there's a decent chance that sitting there at number 12, Brian Schottenheimer maybe saying, if there's a good receiver there, like, let's take that. Let's go get that guy.
When it's of the utmost importance to win your individual matchup, that's where the priority and the, you know, kind of the premier positional value lies. Where you have to, if you don't have to win your individual match to be successful, you're deemed less valuable.
Let's talk about Cowboy draft fits, Bobby, with this piece that came out yesterday.
Yeah, so this was over at ESPN. This is Matt Bowen, who I actually think does a pretty good job. He generally does some film analysis for them, regular season draft, and what he broke down this time was he took 20 prospects in the draft class and said, these are the best, like my favorite fits for each of these 20 players. And it doesn't have to be with their first round pick, just can be somewhere to couple them within the draft. And he has the Cowboys on this list, and it's a running back. It is not Ashton Jeanty. It is not Omarion Hampton from North Carolina, who has become a chic pick as the second running back off the board to the Cowboys. No, it's Travion Henderson from Ohio State. And he says, where would Dallas pick him? He said, preferably around pick number 44. This would not be a first round pick. He said, the Cowboys signed Javonte Williams in free agency, but Henderson would split touches with him. The Cowboys need the help. They had a league low 6 rushing touchdowns last season and averaged just 4 yards per carry. Henderson is a slasher in the run game with big play ability. Once he gets through the second level, Henderson would bring a dynamic element to the Dallas offense with his receiving skills too. That's something Brian Schottenheimer has underlined before about his running backs. He wants them to be able to catch the ball. He can operate as a receiver out of the backfield or split out wide to create matchup advantages. Henderson caught 77 passes during his time at Ohio State, and he will see an expanded route tree as a pro, which includes third down reps thanks to his refined pass blocking. And I think that's a good one. Henderson is a fit. I was thinking about this yesterday, and I was like, let me rack around my brain a little bit and think of a good fit that people can keep an eye on all the way down the line. So first, second, third round picks. First round pick to me, if you want to look at like what is just a perfect fit for Dallas, not necessarily that he'll be there or if he's there that they'd even take him, but Will Campbell, the offensive lineman from LSU, that to me is just a perfect plug him and play him replacement guard for Zach Martin.
Mike Vrabel said you have to view Will Campbell as a left tackle. Do you agree?
No. You don't have to. Will Campbell could probably play left tackle. He's got really short arms, and that's a problem for him. Yeah,
does he?
Yes, he does.
Does he?
Yes, he's got an issue with the length. But Will Campbell, I think you bump him inside and take advantage of a lot of his really quality run blocking and just a lot of his really strong technique. His pad level gets a little too high at times. He has some issues where he still needs to clean up his technique a little bit. But to me, that's a perfect plug and play guard. Same sort of situation that you were looking at from Zach Martin, where you got a guy coming from a Brian Kelly system who played tackle that you'll bump inside the guard. And so I think that that's something that would work out well. Second round, Jalen Knoll, the receiver from Iowa State. If you've taken offensive line in the first round, second round of me, Knoll would be a perfect complement to CD and the things that Knoll can do as like a true Z receiver, which is the guy step off the line of scrimmage, can get vertical, can do some of the stuff on the deeper part of the route tree. And when you talk about mental makeup and character and those things, everybody you talk to says that dude is every box checked. Like Brent Callaway over at Exos, I talked to him about him and they had trained him. He said, I've told everybody to ask me about him. He's the valedictorian of the program this year. Like that dude is always first up doing the workouts, shows up an hour early for every workout, holds guys accountable, checks everybody. That dude is perfect. And so when we hear about what Schottenheimer wants, that's another one. And then the third round for me, Jacob Parrish, who's the cornerback at Kansas State, who when you watch his tape, to me, it's really difficult not to see Jordan Lewis. And so when you're talking about finding a Jordan Lewis replacement, somebody who can play the nickel, at Kansas State, he played inside, he played outside, he shows run support, he smacked the hell out of Cam Scataboo on tape in one play last year, those tree trunk legs. I guess he had another bad croissant earlier in the day. He went down like nothing when the 188-pound Jacob Parrish knocked him down. But Parrish is fantastic. The only thing that's different with him and Jordan Lewis, I feel like, really, Jacob Parrish has better speed. Jacob Parrish is a 4.3 guy. Jordan Lewis is 4.5. So willing run support, inside-outside flexibility, a little on the smaller side, but really good speed, really disciplined. I think he's fantastic. And those are all three that I think would fit really well in each round.
And the reason that Choppy was questioning the arm length is because of Armgate? Is that
Armgate?
What's developing now with the draft?
Yes. Have you seen this, Bobby?
Yes, I have.
So, if you measured as an offensive lineman at the combine, your arm length was on average almost like a half inch shorter than it was at the showcase. So, the Senior Bowl or the Shrine or Pro Day.
Were and the ladies measuring these guys' arms?
I don't know. But at the showcase, Will Campbell measured at 33 flat. And at the combine, 32 5/8. You had guys like Marcus Mbau at Purdue. He measured 33 at the showcase, 32 at the combine. Every single player across the board measured 3/8 of an inch or more less at the combine than they did at their showcase. Who knows why? For whatever reason, it's different. And this puts into, I mean, conspiracy theorists now will come out here now and start saying, well, they're just trying to get a bunch of guards in there because guards are cheaper than tackles.
So a lot of times, I mean, it's literally the way they measure these is, all right, you put a measuring tape up here on this point in their shoulder and you stretch it and you go to this fingertip here. You'll get hand spans that are different. You'll get arm lengths that occasionally are different. To the teams, ultimately, they aren't going to care a ton. Like, they will trust one of those measurements. And so to them, they don't care. It's settled. One of them is settled and they're happy with the number. I'll say this about Will Campbell. Even if he's 33, that's too short to play tackle for a lot of teams. That's probably too short to play tackle for this team. 33-inch arms.
Final comment from Brian Schottenheimer this morning, courtesy of John Machota in Florida. What's up with the Micah deal?
Yeah, you guys know. I mean, hey, look, at the end of the day, this business, and when you're dealing with, you know, the money that's being tossed around, not just with Micah, but with the big-name players, negotiations sometimes take time. I feel very comfortable. Micah said he's going to be around. I think that's what he wants to be. I think we're all very comfortable with that. And at the end of the day, he's a great player, and, you know, we think, you know, he's just getting started, to be honest with you. So I have no question in my mind that he'll be around.
God, I love the guy's personality. I just love him. I can't wait for the coach's show. And our lunch, Bobby, when is it?
Yeah.
When are we sitting down? Breaking bread.
They're all out of town right now, so I'd imagine when they come back sometime.
Mm. Okay.
Okay.
How are we going to suggest or push Brian to pick up the tab? I leave you usually in charge of those things.
Oh, just simple. Just ignore when the check comes.
You don't make a comment?
No,
this will be choppy at that lunch. He'll go.
No, I won't even. I won't
frisk
even
himself.
And he'll just reach.
Yeah, he'll look like reach. He'll look like he's going through the TSA line that he never goes through. No. And then
if
he's
I
gonna
go,
just,
I'll pay. Yeah, if I'm invited.
Oh, cheap one. Cheap
pay.
Over here.
Anything for an invite.
Yeah.
You know, we should have Peyton. We have to
we
have
should.
Peyton.
We should have Peyton there. We should have
Yeah, you're going to be talking to him. You're going to be starting it off. How would you grade your McCarthy interaction over the... How long have you been on this show? Two?
Yeah, a little over 2 years.
All right, so how would you grade it out with you and Mike, you know, picking up and ending the phone calls?
Really well. I mean, I always asked him how he was doing this morning. He always asked me, win or loss the week before, you know, he would ask me how I was doing, how's the guys doing sometimes. You know, I'd update them on, you know, if it's someone's birthday, you know, give them a little inside PR on the show.
Okay.
So he was aware of what was going on. So I thought it was really well.
Did he ever ask about me?
No.
Oh.
He says, Bobby out today?
Yeah. Sadly not. The Dallas Stars, the only ones to shine last night. And what has LeBron learned about Luka so far? That's next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.